Somers to Yonkers, Tarrytown to Portchester.
We've got Westchester covered.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Westchester Talk Radio, and we are broadcasting live from Pelham, New York, in the heart of Westchester, New York. We are here for the very first edition of Live Wire. We are here at Lipolis Electric Incorporated. I'm Bob Marone, here with Jim Cleefield, and of course, the greatest engineer on the planet, Matt Cahan. Wow. We're brought to you this afternoon by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Hightower, Westchester, White Plains Hospital, the Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Robeson, Accordia Therapeutics, and of course, Lipolis themselves. Matthew, anything to say about that?
They keep the lights on.
They do keep the lights on. Actually, it is a pleasure to be here. We've been with the head of Lipolis before. He started this company. We'd like to welcome to the program our first ever Carmine Lipolis. How are you, sir?
Good, Bob. How are you?
It's good to see you again. I'm still amazed you look fresh. You look sprightly. Yet you do. You have a company with 500 employees, thanks to some of the prep we did. You've been at this a long time. You started this company, and you also find time to do charities. We'll get to that a little bit later. But what we'd like you to do is introduce us to some of the people here to your right.
Okay, to my right, I have my son, Paul Lipolis. He's been with the company about seven or eight years. He runs our green department. That's a department that we do a lot of lighting retrofit and energy programs. So in other words, we go into an office space or a warehouse or a facility and change the lights to a more energy efficient light, an LED light. And if there's a program that they could get an incentive, we help the customer along with that incentive. And I'm really proud of him. He recently became a master electrician in Westchester County. So I'm really proud of him.
Congratulations, Paul.
To the right of me, I have Anthony Galletta. He's my service manager. He's been with the company, I guess, about 18 years right now, and he started as a helper. He's been in every part of this company, from an electrician to a journeyman to an estimator to a project manager. Now he's our vice president of services.
That's actually a nice story. We heard that he got lost on his way home from his last day at school and wound up here. He's been here ever since.
Well, that was a lucky day for me, for the company. And then we have Ron Troy. Ron's been with the company, I guess, about 5 or 6 years. And he he also wears a couple different hats. Right now, he's a project manager for our service department. He's also our safety consultant. He's certified to teach and administer OSHA 30 and OSHA 10. He's also, we just got certified for the New York City DOB to teach our employees different safety certifications. So we're really proud of him. He's got a lot of energy, and we're very lucky for him to be on board.
Well, thank you, and welcome to the program. We'll be talking, all of us, in a few moments. You know, I was looking over the notes prepared by a real pro, Diane Magri, and there was a line she used, or you have in your documents, called, "We could change a light bulb for you, or we can outfit a skyscraper." Now, that's a pretty big range of stuff to do.
Yeah, so, you know, changing light bulbs and wiring doghouses.
Doghouses?
Yes.
Excuse me?
So wiring...
Is that for bad employees or family?
Well,
Paul, when we get to you...
It's been said, don't get in my doghouse. So.
But, does it have a basement?
No, no
basement. Is it
green? No basement, no windows, and a door that locks. All right. So, but, you know, our DNA is small jobs, you know, changing light bulbs, doing a kitchen for Mr. and Mrs. Smith. You know, that's our DNA, and we'll never get rid of that. And that's kind of like what Anthony oversees. We call that our service department, and Anthony oversees that along with, again, we have so much talent here. He oversees that along with Mike McKenna. He's our senior project manager in our service department. And he's been with the company for 10 years. So we're very lucky with longevity. And one more thing I like to say is that, you know, in 1984, we started the company. And I started it with my brother-in-law, Charlie Small. Mm-hmm. So he's vice president of logistics. He's upstairs. He's busy. you know, supplying all these jobs with material and equipment. But he's been, you know, I've known him since I'm 9 years old. He's been my mentor, so he's been really, really? Important of a part of the company. So
that's a nice story. One of the things that people may not know, and we want them to know, is this: you're an entrepreneur. This is also a family business. You were an electrician. You worked for others. What inspired you to go out on your own? That's an incredible risk.
I don't know. I think it was just, you know, growing up in, you know, a very humble, you know, family in Yonkers. We had, you know, a lot of tradesmen in the family, and, you know, they were all, you know, I had an uncle, I had a cousin who was an electrical contractor. I had an uncle who was a plumbing contractor, and they used to come over to the house. We used to have, you know, macaroni every Thursday night, and they used to, you know, at my grandma's there. I thought I'd wake you up.
Yeah, that really helped. Is it Wednesday, fellas? I think it is.
So, well, we used to have macaroni on Thursday nights.
After the show.
And I just always looked up to them, and I just figured, you know, I was going to go work for somebody, and then I was going to go on my own. And my brother-in-law, Charlie, was on his own doing construction when he was 18 years old. So it was just something that was always natural. And, you know, I worked for somebody and I enjoyed working for that person. And I don't know, it just seemed natural. And I went on my own and I've been lucky ever since.
Well, clearly now, again, 500 people today. You're in a wonderful location, big parking lot, several story building here in Pelham, New York. How it took obviously the whole time to build that. Why did you grow to this size? And give us the range of stuff that you've been called on to do. And then how much did technology change over those years?
Well, you know, I think we grew to this size just because of, you know, the foundation we set with our customers. You know, as we grew, our customers grew. And they became, you know, developers. They became CEOs. They become project managers. So those customers from Mr. and Mrs. Smith became a CEO of a development company, and it just became natural that we wanted to serve those customers. As they grew, we wanted to serve their customers, whether they went to New York City or they went to New Jersey or Connecticut. We just felt an obligation to our customers, and, you know, that's what's important to us. You know, we could, you know, I always talk about it because we have a great mix here. We have Generation I, we have the I generation, we have Millennials, we have Generation X, we have Baby Boomers. And what I tell everybody is what's key is relationships.
Okay, having gotten to know you and also looking at the literature, preparing for today, service keeps coming up, treating people nice. In fact, you have a list of principles. I didn't know whether to ask your hand in marriage or talk about your company. How much does it matter the way you treat the public and the way you treat a client? And I know we're going to be talking with Mr. Galletta in a little while. He does that for you. To grow a business to 500 people, you can't be talking too many people off.
Well, I just had a simple formula when we first went into business. Real simple. Someone's going to call us. We're going to return their call immediately. We're going to say what we do. We're going to do what we say, I should say. And we're going to give immediate proposals. So it was really simple. And that formula, we kept it to this day.
But it's different now. The world is different now. People get stuck on voicemail. They get stuck on prompts. People start work and leave. You don't have those problems.
You know, I think at the end of the day, I always say it's about relationships. You know, we could send all the texts and the emails, and that's part of what we do. You know, you do it. We all do it. But at the end of the day, it's a relationship. And if somebody knows me, they know that I'm going to do what I say, and that's what I try to instill to my people.
One more question, and then we'll get to safety, because it's obviously a very important thing. I want to remind folks, you are listening to the inaugural, the first ever broadcast of Live Wire here in Pelham, New York. We are at Lipolis Electric, Inc., right here in the corner in 7th Street in Pelham, and we are talking with the CEO. His name is on the door. Let's go back to what we said. How has technology changed, and what kinds of business are you getting today?
Well, technology changes because right now a lot of jobs that we do are sent via some sort of program or some sort of cloud-based program. So we have a program sending us a request to quote something. So, and it's all, everything is kind of managed now. They have these different programs, project management programs that we deal with. And, you know, just technology is, you know, we always staying up with technology. I like to say I'm a vintage guy.
Yeah.
I'm not an old guy, but I'm vintage. But
legacy.
You know, yeah, legacy. And we keep up with the program. And I'm very lucky. I have some great young talent here, and I'm really proud of them. Over the last month, year and a half, we probably hired about 10 millennials, and they're fantastic. I mean, they really...
Yeah, some of them were in here before. Yeah,
they really made a difference. And Diane had a big part of that, mentoring them. And we've been very lucky with that.
Well, clearly. Say, by the way, can I ask you a geeky question?
Sure.
Will we ever reach the day? Now you can put your cell phone on a plate and it charges it up. Will we ever be able to transmit electricity through a microwave or some other way without using wires? Do you think? Is that?
I hope not.
Oh well, then you can do that too.
I hope not.
Fine. I just thought I'd ask.
We don't want to talk about that.
No harm done, folks. We want to emphasize that will never happen. It is scientifically impossible. We're going to move on now. We're going to talk about safety. We're going to talk to some of the people, and we're going to talk with Paul Lipolis. Now, Paul, you mentioned that you are a master electrician. What does it take to become a master electrician? Now, let's do a comparison. I can turn a light on and change a bulb, maybe.
You got to be able to change a bulb.
I'm halfway there.
No.
Where's my certificate?
I mean, from where I started when I first joined the company, to be able to get my license after 7 years, I never thought I'd be able to do that. But really, it just took a lot of hard work and studying the electrical code, and just from what I learned from people like Anthony and my dad and the other people in the company while I worked here. I just kind of put it all together and didn't want to have to take the test again, so I studied really hard. And
what's the essence of the code? You know, in every profession, it could be in flying the first day of class, they say that the most useless thing to a pilot is the sky above you and the runway behind you. What are the basics when you start studying electricity and doing it right and being an electrician?
Well, just, you know, kind of making sure you're doing it right, not taking for granted that the guy you're working with just – because he's older, knows exactly what he's doing.
So your dad may not know what he's doing.
No, my dad knows. But, I mean, it's just starting at the front of the book and the table of contents and just seeing how they break everything up. And they really have a great way of, you know, teaching it and, you know, breaking everything up that you can cover everything in, that you'll see in the field with one code book.
What's the biggest problem you ever ran into?
We've seen a lot of things, you know, just as far as water getting into light fixtures, you know, you take a light fixture down and it's full of water, take it 10
now,
minutes.
You've already turned off the power, I hope.
Yeah. Well, the power got shut off on its own when the water got in.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully. Yeah, okay, go ahead. I get you. So you've run into things like that. Safety's huge, and I know that's where we're going with this broadcast. It's very easy to make a mistake with electricity, isn't it? It's very easy to melt a wire. It's very easy to put too many items and peripherals on an outlet. Do you see that a lot?
Yeah, you see all types of things going into different places throughout, you know, the county and the city, you know, older buildings. You see stuff and, you know, it's not done the right way. And that's a lot of times that's why people call us in, is they realize that and they want it done right and – you know.
Tell us a little bit about what you're doing now, day to day. What's your day like?
Well, I mean, I'm in charge of our green department, which we specialize in LED lighting programs. We upgrade people's lighting from what they have now, either fluorescent or incandescent, and we bring them up to LED lighting. We do that by replacing the fixtures or retrofitting them, and we usually tie in one of Con Edison's rebate programs to get
that
child
papers. That's a big business for you now. And how much money does the typical household save when they convert to so-called green lighting and these LED bulbs?
It's mostly commercial places that we're doing, and it's usually like a 1 to 2 year payback, like however much their net cost is after the rebate. Their savings will pay for that in 1 to 2 years. So, you know, depending on the size and how many lights they have and how many hours they're on for, it could be, you know, anywhere from $100 a month to $1,000 a month.
It's a lot of money. And for the average family, even $100 a month means a lot.
Yeah, sure.
And were we right? Is that a big business? Is that something that you see?
Yeah, I mean, right now we have, like, you know, from 5 to 10 crews doing this type of work every day, depending on the season. And, I mean, just today I was at a car dealership, 5 apartment buildings, and a Boys and Girls Club. And, you know, so everybody is kind of taking advantage of the rebate programs and doing that type of work.
That voice you hear is that of Paul Lopoulos. He's the vice president here of Green Energy, the green section of this company. Safety, I guess we should move on to that next. Did you want to, anything else you want to add to
what
Paul
does? I think the important thing about, you know, what we started the green department, you know, 6 or 7 years ago with Paul, was that we wanted to give back to the environment. You know, the carbon footprint that we're putting back into the environment is tremendous, you know. And Paul has all these figures, but, you know, yeah, we service our customer, but it's like anything else. We're making the environment a better place for our kids and our grandkids.
Well,
so
that's really important.
That is.
Thank you very much, Paul. I guess we can move on now to safety. And once again, folks, this is the inaugural, the introduction, if you will, of the Live Wire program here at Lipolis Electric. We are Westchester Talk Radio, and we're broadcasting live from the heart of Pelham, New York. Matt.
One could say that Lipolis is powering the show today.
They're very much powering the show. Matt, folks, as you probably realized, likes puns, and he will be sentenced to the penitentiary as soon as the show is over. We move on now to Anthony Galletta, and Anthony is in charge. I guess you're the vice president in charge of service. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So can you move the mic a little closer? So when I call up and I have a problem, you're the first face I see? The first voice I hear.
Well, you hear from Wendy, our secretary. She'll take care of everything. She'll take all your information, and we'll schedule guys to come out there, take care of everything right away.
Okay, let's talk about safety in the home, and I'll make this a little personal. A year and a half ago, and I think I've mentioned this to Carmine in a previous discussion, I lost a brother-in-law. Had too many wires, too many things connected, along with an air conditioner, and then he decided to put the heater in his fish tank on that line in the middle of the summer. He and his wife went to bed. She made it out. He never did. The place was smoked. And with that, and with people thinking about their own homes and their own wiring and their own problems, let's get into safety in the home. What are the most important things about safety in the home?
Well, with something like that, you should have a dedicated line just for your air conditioner.
Just for the air conditioner.
That'll
correct.
Take care of that. Extension cords you should get rid of. Shouldn't use extension cords.
Ever?
Really shouldn't. You know, that's one of the biggest causes of fires, overloading extension cords. They make special outlets and breakers now for arc fault. It's called arc fault for when it sparks. You know, sometimes you plug something in, it sparks.
Would you do the listeners a favor? Would you say that again? Everyone that I know has way too many people, particularly in older homes, have extension cords in their homes. Tell them again.
Yeah, it shouldn't be used. You know, we could always add an extra outlet here and there, make, you know, one outlet into four outlets, much safer than using extension cords.
See, that's something you should talk about, because a lot of people think it's going to be some big deal. Someone's going to come in and knock down a wall. How difficult is it to add a typical outlet today?
Well, it's a lot easier than having a fire and having to replace, you know, everything you lost. So, you know, the cost of it isn't much.
Go ahead and make sense. So extension cords are a bad thing to have.
Yes.
What are the other things that you worry about when you assess a home for safety?
We worry to make sure there's GFIs next to water.
What's a GFI?
It's a ground fault receptacle.
Remember, I'm not that smart. You guys are experts.
Well, if you ever remember, you know, the wife wants to kill their husband. She drops a toaster in the bathtub.
Oh, this is a great story. Go ahead. Yeah, well, I saw that movie.
If there's,
shocking movie.
If there's a GFI GFI there, it would prevent that. GFI
so trip. A GFI is a ground
fault.
So is it already in the water, or is it all the does it fit between the plug and
it's
the wall?
It's in the. It's part of the. It's a plug. It's called the GFI plug. It has two little buttons on it. You've probably seen them in your bathrooms,
oh,
your kitchens.
Red button.
Yep. You see, they're anywhere by water.
I never know to put it back on or off. It's gone off a few times.
That
no,
saved your life.
You've got to help people. No, I'm telling you, most people are not as dumb as I am, but on that same level. And you've really got to help people. I mean, we don't know. You mean that little red switch? If I didn't have it set right, I might be toast today.
Yeah, and it should be tested every 6 months or so.
Okay.
Make sure it works correctly.
As we're getting real, this is great stuff. I'm not kidding. People bring their phones into the bathroom, not me, and they say, let me charge it while I'm shaving or while Matt is shaving his head. If I drop the phone in there, am I going to toast?
If you don't have a GFI, yes.
Oh, jeez. Okay, we're talking. That's Anthony Galletta, and he's telling us about safety. Folks, I hope you're listening to this. You shouldn't be using extension cords, and you need a GFI. It's not a medical device. One more time, what's a GFI?
Ground fault interrupter. What okay. It does is it detects if there's a ground fault, if there's electricity being lost somewhere, like through your body, in the water, and it stops the power right away.
So when you go into a home, if someone says, assess me for safety, you're looking for those?
Yep.
Are you putting them in every home that has a water supply someplace? Are you putting them
yes.
there?
Yes, kitchens,
especially
bathrooms, outdoors.
Building.
Yep, it's all code required. So.
Okay, what else? This is scary now.
Smoke detectors is another big thing with safety. Make sure that they're all up and running, batteries changed. You know, you have them in the right locations.
I got a problem for you to solve.
Sure.
I could even call you in because they're still out. In my house on 7th Street here in New Rochelle, you know the area.
Yeah, I know
you
very well.
There. We had the house renovated, all these new circuit breakers, and one night they all went off. I mean, all these new smoke detectors. They all went off at the same time. The dog went crazy, the fire department came, the people on the block were running up and down like it was the end of the world. The fire department came. We had to take them all down. Now, we got to put them back up. What could that problem possibly be?
Well, you had smoke somewhere. You might have had smoke. You might have a faulty device.
See my other half. Smoking would be a wonderful thing.
But what you said was good is that it went out. It made noise throughout the entire house because the fire could have started in the bedroom on the second floor. You could have been on the first floor. If it's not interconnected, which means they're all tied together, mm-hmm. if one goes off, they all go off.
Well, actually, that was a good thing. Now, seriously, if we put them back in, and we'll get to you, Matt. If we put them back in, okay, and they start beeping again, what's wrong? Do we have a wiring problem?
You could, if they're battery backup, you could have a bad battery. That's sometimes
in
making
all of
beeps.
Them?
Well, if one battery goes bad, it may beep all
That's
the rest.
Interesting. But again, but you see,
you know.
This is why people yeah. should call you when they have
Definitely.
This problem and not try and solve it like my other half, who shall go unnamed, because I don't want her throwing a radio into the bathroom. All right. What else should I worry about?
You know, anything, you know, light bulbs, making sure you have the right wattage in the fixture itself.
Talk about that.
If you have a bulb that's too bright, you know, takes up too much power, it gets hot.
Mm-hmm.
Heat, old wires, especially in older homes, you can cause a fire. So you want to make sure that your bulbs that are in your fixtures are correct. Right wattage for the fixtures. You know, we've been changing a lot of things to LED in the homes. Saves on heat.
They weren't cooler, too, don't they?
Much.
You know, this happened in my family, and I caught it. I had an idiot brother who shall go nameless as well. True story. You know those high-intensity lamps?
Yep.
They have like a bowl. He threw an undershirt up there, thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Left it there. One night it started smoking.
Well, that's another thing in closets. They should be enclosed fixtures, shouldn't be exposed bulbs. Well, that's another code requirement.
Wow.
So, you know, just in case something like that hits it, a garment hits a hot bulb, it's going to melt and it's going to create smoke and fire.
Okay, a lot of people today, we're coming out of the summer, thank goodness, although our winter and we're going into the summer. But a lot of people in the winter have every means and style of local heater. They're dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, especially if they're plugged in with all these other things and on extension cords and don't have their own dedicated lines.
And again, if they're next to clothing. Now, are there any of those that are safer than others?
Yeah, usually a lot of the new ones now have a tip-over switch built into them. So if they tip over, because that's usually when the fire starts, they'll shut themselves off.
Biggest problem you ever saw?
I mean, we see fires.
Well, of course, but
yeah.
A potential problem that you fixed.
Yeah, I mean, we go to, you know, people call us, say, half my house is out. and realized that their panel, their electrical panel, is smoking. There's something wrong inside of it that if we didn't get there, you know, nobody else would see.
Okay, everybody has circuit breakers today. Some people are still using fuses. Every once in a while, someone will put the microwave on while the dishwasher's on, and the lights will go out. Why would that happen? They don't seem like they draw that much power. Is it the microwave?
No, you're drawing too much power. Everything really in a kitchen needs a dedicated line. So you have a separate breaker for each appliance you have. So your microwave would be on one breaker. Your dishwasher, disposal would all be separate.
Okay, allow me to say this. If anybody's listening at home, it wasn't about you. Anthony Kalaga. Get myself in trouble. Give us, if you would, one primer, one overall primer about safety in the home. What do you worry about? What should people be doing?
People should really be checking it more. We come out and we can do a complete survey of your house and kind of go through all these things. Check your GFIs, make sure they're in the right locations. Check your panel, make sure all the wires are tight, make sure there's no loose connections. Give you a proposal to get up to date, up to code. And do that, you know, twice a year. We do it every 6 months. This way, you know, you know the problem before it actually happens.
One more bugaboo before we move on to safety outside the home. I've owned 3 new homes in my life. And not once when I moved in did the people that wire the house match the breaker to the room.
That's another thing we do as part of our checklist.
Okay, that's a good thing.
Yeah, very good.
And in the third home that I bought, you need to call in a field of detectives to find out which outlet is on the switch. why don't they tell you, like, put a note, this outlet is over there, here's this. Well, they don't tell you.
That's the best. We take care of all that.
You
we
do,
come in,
that?
We'll
That's
come out and mark the whole panel for you. We'll put our little sticker on top so you have our name, our phone number. So if you ever have a problem, you give us
good.
A call, you're done.
He's good, you know, Conrad. He really is. But these are important things. See, we come from the place when we do this kind of thing. We're your average Joe. We need to understand this. Yeah. I never knew what that little red button was for. Yeah. I might have toasted myself 5 times. this applies to anyone. Now, you're the service guy, so it's incumbent on you. And, folks, please get a pen out, get a pencil. They have these kinds of problems, and we're going to do this again and at the end of the show. But who should they call? What's the phone number? How do they go on the website?
You can actually schedule online if you want at www.lapoliselectric.com. We have a click on here. You could schedule your appointment right online.
Really?
Yep, and it'll come right to us. We'll call you back to confirm. Or you can give us a call in the office at 914-738-3550.
Say it more slowly and say it again because they're fumbling with their pens now.
914-738-3550.
And you know what's interesting? The number of people that are probably going in their bathrooms now to see if they have those switches, and they're not going to bring the phone into the bathroom anymore. I promise not to.
I saved a couple of husbands' lives tonight.
Oh, yeah, and you probably disappointed some husbands or wives in that process. Anthony, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
Folks, we're going to move to outdoor safety next, and we have the outdoor guy right next to us. His name, and I want to be sure to get it right, is Ron Troyer, and he's in charge of safety in the outdoor. But first, once again, this is the premiere, the inaugural show of Live Wire. We are here at Lapolis Electric in the heart of Westchester, New York, in Pelham, at their headquarters. Very nice building. There's parking. No one ever comes here to bring their electrical problems, but they park their trucks and they go and solve the problem for you. As you can tell, my ignorance is not limited to the indoor, Ron. It's limited to outdoors as well. Tell us what the chief safety concerns are. You have to bring the mic just a little. There it goes.
Well, Bob, the primary concerns are your exposure to electrical current. And that primarily is when you're outside, your electricity seeks to go back to ground. Mm-hmm. And in that case, you're standing on ground and the current is about to go through you. So,
oh, thank you.
So there are the same protective measures on the outside receptacles as they are on the inside, and those are also ground fault circuit interrupters.
Okay, what does that look like outside the house?
Same receptacle that you saw inside the house, but it might be in a slightly different enclosure, allowing you to plug into that receptacle and close the cover over it and leave that outlet, that cord, plugged into it without having to expose it to moisture.
There are a plethora of things that are frightening me now. We just came out of Christmas season.
Correct.
We've got lights out, indoor lights, outdoor lights, extension cords, and you apologize for me. I apologize to you, Anthony. You got extension cord on extension cord. Every once in a while, I'm looking at the lights. Oh, they're so pretty, but the water's on them. It's raining. How dangerous is that?
We think it's very dangerous. And we go to customers' homes and we see one extension cord after another plugged into each other. And all that is exposure, as I mentioned. And anybody step in on that, any exposed electrical wiring that they could come in contact with is of concern.
Now, when people are putting up their lights, and I'm not going to mention any names, self, should they have the lights on when they do it, or should they leave them off first as they're stringing them and up on a ladder?
Definitely you want to have that switch in the off position.
Okay. All right, let's move on. A lot of people have swimming pools today. They have the pools, the metal pools, and they have the filter on there. And there's something disconcerting about a plug leading to a swimming pool. Mm-hmm. How do we know they're safe?
We don't know until we get there.
Oh, great. So either I'm soup or I'm swimming.
Well, this is where the National Electrical Code gets very specific.
We're going to talk
about
that.
Proximities. How close can that outlet be to the water's edge? How far back does a light have to be? What type of bonding is required to make sure that their what's called equal potential is throughout the entire pool area without getting too far into details?
Well, we need to understand this because people are afraid of these things. My son-in-law had a pool in his last house, and they had lights on. It looked very pretty at night. And then one day I'm in there, and I'm saying, what would happen if that little glass broke? Is little Bobby, am I a shrimp?
Probably not, because that light is required to have groundfall protection.
Okay, got it. And this is a thing we
There's
all
a pattern
need to know.
Developing
okay,
here, right?
What are the biggest problems that you see outdoors? We've talked about lighting. We've talked about ground, that thing, pools. What else is important?
Well, we see a lot of customers taking some of these steps into their own hands. And without really understanding the proper methods of wiring and connection, especially when it comes to exterior work, can make mistakes, and then we're back to the exposure issue.
Well, a lot, and this, of course, is what Lipolis does, folks. They don't just come and fix a problem. They can wire your house anew. They can put in these different outlets. They can put in ground force protection. But you wire new homes. You wire new developments. How important is the wire? I mean, the famous movie, I still think about it. What was it, The Towering Inferno? The guy used a cheap wire, and the building cooked. What kind of wire is common today? How do people, when they buy a new home, know it's safe? What should they be looking for?
If they're looking at buying a new home, they're going to have a home inspector come through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really depends on who you select for that job and how well they do their job. But in most cases, in newer developments, you're going to find houses that were done to code, done to the more current safety standards that are inspected. And I'm a former electrical inspector as well. So some of these things, you're trained on. You know, there's various stages of the inspection process, including before the walls get closed up, where the wires done run correctly.
That voice you hear is that of Ron Troyer. He's talking with us about safety outside the home. So you visit my home. What's the first thing? You come to the front door. Are you looking at the house even before you get there?
I'm looking at your doorbell before you even answer the door. And so many times we're finding doorbells that are inoperative.
Well, that's very common.
There's not a lot of voltage right there, but it's still an issue.
And why?
Well, the buttons tend to wear out or they don't get replaced. The house was bought that way. Any number of
okay.
causes.
I go to Mr. Galetta's house up in Somers. His doorbell's broken. Where the little light is, there's a wire sticking out of something, and I press it. Am I going to get a shock?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's a lower voltage.
All right. We're talking safety. Maybe this applies to both of you, and I'd like to give me your whole thumbnail in a minute. But if you do get a shock, if you do see an exposed wire, and we'll cover some of the things that happen after storms, what ought we be doing?
Always assume that wire is live. If there's been a storm and you have a wire down, a power line in your yard, assume that that's live. The distance, rough rule of thumb, stay 30, 40 feet away from that wire. Don't even venture outside. If you're in the house and you know there's a wire out there and you see any arcing going on, wait until the proper authorities, fire department, utility comes, and they tell you that the coast is clear.
Ron Troyer, electricity is your business, weather is not. But people never know. They're out on the golf course. They're out in front of their home. They're in their little swimming pool, and we have an electrical storm. Mm-hmm. Where should we go? No kidding around.
That is a very good question. back into the house. In most cases, there's some preceding thunder that'll announce the advance of a thunderstorm. Take heed of that, clear the area, get inside in safe cover. If you're outside, you know, if you're in a car, you have some insulation maybe in the tires, but they tell you if you're exposed to the storm, to lay down into a ditch as deep as you can find, and just keep your head down and wait for the storm to pass.
Interesting stuff. Okay, and Inspector, you mentioned the first thing you look out is the door. About what next?
As we come into the house, you know, one of the things I like to look at when I go into people's homes, I ask if they can show me where their water meter is, because that's where the electrical system gets grounded. That's the electrode, the main electrode in the house.
Why would they choose the water meter? It just seems counterintuitive.
Well, there might be water inside the conduit, but the copper on the outside running is part of the electrical electrode system, and we want to take a look at it because they do get corroded. They do get disconnected. And if that happens, we want to make sure that they have a proper ground. And that's something that we're very adept and ready to take care of.
What's the biggest problem you've ever seen that didn't result? Anthony mentioned before, well, of course, a fire. But pre-fire, you got to a home or you saw something outside and you said, I'm glad I got here.
Well, that's a good question. A lot of it is just the potential exposure, because other than fire, you also have the potential for shock.
Well, that's what I'm concerned
about. And under the right situations, you could come into contact with electrical current and not be able to separate yourself from that.
Why does it stick? We had a case in the news the other day where a man backed into an electrical current that he didn't know was there. Mm-hmm. His wife went to help him. And they both died. Yes. She couldn't just pull away?
No.
Why not?
No, because the muscles lock up. Mm-hmm. All the muscles in the body, including the heart, including the lungs, just lock up. And in our case, you know, as we work with our hands, you have two sets of muscles in your arms, the ones that grip and the ones that let go. Well, the ones that grip are much stronger than the others, so they're going to override the other muscle, and you just cannot let go of that current.
What else should we know about safety outside the home?
Well, you know, most importantly, if there is a storm and you see anything else that's down, always assume it live. If a plug, for any reason, gets a piece of the outlet or the plug itself stuck into the outlet, you need an electrician to evaluate that situation and make the right correction. Don't try to pull that piece that's stuck in the receptacle out. If the lamp in the ceiling is broken and the screw shell of the former bulb is still in the socket, don't try to take that out.
Please say that again.
You need an electrician for that.
The one time I got a shock, that was one of the things I tried. And you feel it run right up your arm like 1,000 little bugs. Scary. Wow. And it hurts. Anything else? Just want to be sure we covered all the bases, because safety, and folks, I'm reminding you, we're here at Lipolis Electric today, our inaugural show, Live Wire, and how appropriate this is. We're talking safety today. Of course, if we're frightening you a little bit, maybe that's a good intent, because these are the kinds of things that they can prevent from happening if you get a hold of the mat.
Yeah, Bob, I just wanted to add, don't stand in water, any type of water, while you're holding anything, any electrical wires.
Well, of course. I'm sure these guys get that. I will remember to do that, but at my height, I could drown anyway. Okay, we've talked about safety. And this is really great stuff. Let's turn the screw a little bit and talk about what a safe home looks like. And maybe we'll start with you outdoors, go back to indoors, and then we'll take it and put a wrap on and get back to the boss. What does a safe home look like, or a safe business? And with that, I'm going to mention one other thing. I owned a cafe with a deli once. I could not believe the electric bill for the motors that ran those refrigerators. And I always said, how come we're not blowing out 8,000 fuses and burning the place down? With that, what does a safe business or a safe home look like?
Well, all the loads in the house have to be calculated correctly.
A load is the drawer of power, correct?
Correct. And so there's... Depending on the size of the load, kind of determines the size of the wire that's needed. Mm-hmm. And a good electrician would be able to calculate all that correctly. And so that would be the first part. There's the connection to the utility, whether it be overhead or underground. That's got to be a secure, inspected connection. It goes into the electrical panel. You want to have the right size of equipment for all that. And then it goes out to all the branch circuits, that each one is sized properly for the load that is either on it or anticipated to be on it.
Okay. Do you want to add anything else, Anthony, to that?
Yeah,
what does the safe home look like?
I mean, we walk in, we could tell kind of off the bat if your outlets look like they're new, have three prongs, not the old two prongs, plates are missing, broken. Those are the things we look for. Those are all safety issues that are visible without us opening walls and checking wires. Once we start to see things that are old, the house age is old, then we start to really look into things. We open things up and see what the wire condition is.
For both of you, I did neglect one thing. You see in almost every home today, particularly in a home where there's a computer and printers, those strips. Are there strips that are better than others? Because obviously some people have so many peripherals, they need a strip. What would you tell them?
You can. You know, the newer ones now have actual breakers on them, so they shut themselves off. I mean, you try to avoid anything like that just because it's floating around. It's, you know, it's movable. Dust gets on it. You kick it with your feet. You know, you kind of want to just have an outlet that everything plugs into. Whether it's a couple outlets on the wall, it's a much safer install.
Wow, this is really informative, and I'm telling you, this is going to help a lot of people. And folks, today we've been covering safety, and we don't want to end on scaring you, but we do want you to know that there's a place to go to fix these problems, and that is Lipolis Electric. And they're right here in Pelham, but they're open 24 hours a day. I kind of cheated. I spoke with Anthony before we started. You guys are here 24 hours a day. You can go and you can make an appointment online. You can call up. These fine people will take your call. Just a little bit, and if you can give the mic back to Carmine. Carmine Lipolis, of course, the CEO, the founder, along with his brother-in-law, Mr. Small, of this wonderful firm. Let's put it to
Bob, can I tell you something?
Yes,
I got to say something.
Yes, sir.
So you and I, we got to know each other. We did different events. And
yes.
You interviewed me, but I have to tell you, I don't know who does the wiring in your house, but it's got to be the worst.
Oh, well, what I've done, keep in mind, I'm not a young guy.
So those three houses, I'm telling you, after all these conversations, your wiring has to be the worst.
Well, I was 6'7" before I bought the first house. A few shocks brought me down. Well, no, it's true. Actually, the wiring's okay because I worry about these things. And I remembered each one of those problems, and it made it useful to talk with you guys. And in fact, in the house that I'm working on a fixer-upper now, and I know who I'm going to call.
Well, you call us. We'll give you the family discount.
Well, I would like the family discount. Before we go, if you would just give people, again, today we focused on safety. At the beginning of the show, we did talk about what you do. But give people, before we put a wrap on this today, the list of what you do. Of course, we gave the line that your people wrote, from changing a light bulb to outfitting a skyscraper.
Correct.
What is your typical job, and what do you do?
You know, our typical jobs, we basically, you know, so what Ron and Anthony do is a big part of our business. We still do a lot of residential work. We go in people's houses. We do these safety audits. We go in there, and we also, you know, if somebody wants an outlet for their computer, for their electric heater, they want to upgrade their service, we still do that. If someone's putting a small addition, we do that. We wire a house. We do all that. We also have an operation department, which we do a commercial work. So we do a larger commercial scale work through Westchester and the five boroughs. We talked about the green department that Paul does, and the lighting retrofit programs that he oversees. And we also do a lot of testing. So we do a lot of preventive maintenance on a larger scale of different testing, large circuit breaker panels. And we're also able to do the same through Anthony and Ron. We're able to do some infrared testing on the residential circuit breaker panel. Now, before you said, you know, what makes a safe house? I think every, you know, electrician, licensed electrician, inspector, they go to that. Once they go to that circuit breaker panel, if they see it's a clean environment around the panel, it's well lit, the circuit breakers are labeled, that's the first thing. I mean, that's the heartbeat. And, you know, a lot of times things are happening in that panel that your eye can't see. You see things that are overloaded. So we have infrared cameras that it's part of our maintenance program. We just shoot it with a camera and we're able to see the hot spots. And we're able to say, okay, well, this circuit, you're drawing too much power on that circuit, or you have a problem with that circuit break. It's about to fail. So these are the type of things we do.
You know, I have to tell you before we go, from the thing I think that makes you different, and this is from earlier talking with Anthony, looking at the literature, having met you before. Service, assuming one knows what they're doing, service is still the most important thing in treating customers well, isn't it?
It's the most important thing. It's really, you know, it's what I enjoy the most.
Well, I can tell.
I really do.
That's the way you are.
I get excited
Anthony, I don't know about, but you.
I get excited talking about service and customers. They're so important to us. I have customers with us 35 years. Their kids are probably the age of my kids. My kids are in their early 30s and late 20s that, you know, they're the same age, went to colleges and, you know, and they still call us and we talk about, you know, when we first, you know, started doing business. And I think
go ahead, please.
You know, when you talk to, you know, when the homeowners that are listening to us out there and they, you know, rolling their eyes and they're going to go home and say, let me check my extension cord.
I hope so.
And all this type of things. You know, I think the important thing is that, you know, what we see is that people are using unlicensed people. Oh, contractors.
Huge.
There's an epidemic of unlicensed people going around claiming that they're electricians, but, you know, a homeowner might not know, let me see his license, let me see his insurance. And that's really, you know, that's a big key, you know. So if anything comes out of this, you know, if someone has their favorite electrician they use, or they're just, you know,
from Queens or whatever,
or they want to use, you know, they're up in, you know, they feel they want to use a local person or whatever, they have to make sure they're licensed in Westchester County. That's the key.
And they can check with the county. The county will tell them that.
Yeah, they could go right online to the, you know, Consumer Protections, and there's a website, you know, westchestercounty.gov, something like that, and they could look at the, you know, people's licenses. And, you know, just so you know, in La Pulse Electric, we probably have, you know, about 10 or 12 individuals that have master licenses, you know, that which is unheard of. You know,
the expertise came through clearly in this room today, let me tell you.
You know, we're very lucky. And Ron is also a certified teacher. He teaches, he's taught the prep class that, you know, young people or, you know, anybody who wants to take their master electrician's test, you know, he's taught that class. So he really, you know, he's got a good grip on what's going on out there.
No, it's kind of nice, too, to be in a profession, at least for all of you, where you need to be certified. You need to reach a level of competence that has a certification. That's important. But as I said, the competence and the expertise came through today. Carmen, I want to thank you for having us into your business today. It was a really learning experience for us.
This is an exciting day for me. I've been wanting to do this for a long time, and it's finally came to fruition. I'm really excited.
Well, it's been informative and fun. I want to thank you. I want to thank Ron Trainer. I want to thank Anthony Galletta, and of course Paul Lipolis. Thank you very much. Also, I want to thank Diane Magri, who did a lot of work setting this up. She can't hear me over there, but thank you. I want to thank Matt, our engineer, and Jim Cleefield, my co-host, are doing videography work right now. This has been it's been fun, but we've learned a lot. Thank you very much. Folks, this is Westchester Talk Radio. We've been broadcasting live from the offices of La Pulse Electric right here in Pelham, New York. You were brought this afternoon. You were produced by Shaw Creative, made possible by Anthrogy, Indian Point Energy Center, La Pulse Electric. We're here. Genesis Exhibits, Facelifts Remodeling, and the White Plains YMCA. And don't forget to download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes. I'm Bob Marone. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.
Remember when Hurricane Sandy hit? Remember being left in the dark for days? For some, it was weeks. Remember how helpless, how frustrated, how irritated you were? Remember you said you were going to get a generator so you would never lose power again? So, how's that generator working? Oh, you didn't get one, did you? La Pulse Electric wants to let you know that now is the best time to have them install that generator. The harsh winter months are ahead, and so are those harsh winter storms. And you know what heavy, wet snow does to power lines or to limbs hanging precariously over those power lines. Call Lipolis Electric at 738-3550 to set up a consultation. Let Lipolis help you figure out what type of generator you need so you won't be left in the dark this winter or in the cold. Some heating systems can run off of certain generators. More than generators, Lipolis Electric provides expert electrical services, over 25 years of successful projects and satisfied customers. Lipolis Electric, 738-3550 or click LipolisElectric.com. Licensed, bonded, and insured.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola, Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too. And now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better. Shark.